Well, I don't deserve this honor, but I'm going to introduce my buddy Bill. Bill, look at this. I don't know how many we have. We lost count. It's about 60. And that, there's more than 60. And that's a tribute to Bill, I think. Bill, I'm going to read his bio, but I want to editorialize just a bit. Just so you guys know, Bill started this in 1994. And he's kept it going pretty much by himself. He's gotten a speaker every month since that time. And this, look at this. This is amazing. And it's a tribute to Bill Sapp, as far as I'm concerned. He just sticks around to bring one more person to Christ. So here's the bio that I think Lucille probably prepared, huh?
Probably.
She edited it.
After graduation from Diller High in 1949, Bill attended and graduated from Fairbury Junior College. He taught school in Polk, Nebraska, where he met his wife Lucille. Bill and Lucille were married in 1953, during which time he was serving in the U.S. Army. Most of those 2 years were spent in France. Upon returning to Nebraska, he and Lucille taught school for 2 years in Franklin, Nebraska, and then finished his education in Lincoln, Nebraska, and graduated from UNL. He worked with Prudential Insurance Company for 2 years before Bill and his brothers bought out the Ford dealership in Ashland, Nebraska, where Sapp Brothers came into being. In 1965, he managed Sapp Brothers GMC truck sales in Omaha, and in 1971, Sapp Brothers Truck Plaza became a reality. In 1980, the petroleum department was developed and has spread throughout Nebraska. The truck stop business has expanded well as well to number 17, located from Salt Lake City, Utah to Clearfield, Pennsylvania. Bill has been involved in service and Christian organizations, including Sertoma and Gideon's. He has served on the Grace University Foundation Board, as well as the boards of Norwest Bank, Wells Fargo, and the Board of Regents of Dana College. Bill and Lucille have been blessed with a loving family. Four beautiful daughters, Suzanne, Nancy, Mary, and Cindy. Four great sons-in-law. Three great sons-in-law and Kevin. Nine exceptional grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. By this family, Bill feels that he has been greatly blessed by God. So, you all know Bill Sapp.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. How this really got started, it seemed to me that in the churches I was going to or with, it seemed like we had more active ladies or grandmas or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it seemed like we just had a shortage of men. So I thought to myself, how do we get men come? So I went to every pastor and the Catholic priest and asked them if they would be willing to sponsor it, basically like it is now. We haven't changed it very much at all. That they would serve the meal, that they could either keep whatever their expenses were, or else they could they had their choice of what they wanted to do. And so every one of them said that they would participate. So that was the beginning, and each church would take its turn. So as we'd go around and around and around, so I gathered the speakers up that I knew every year, and I really feel that all of us, including myself, got to know a lot more of my fellow brother in Christ because of men in mission. So I want to thank you for coming. I want to thank the other churches who committed their church and their building and their food for these deals. And I think that in the last, how long, Ray, have you been doing it now?
94 would be what, 23 years.
So then we persuaded Ray to fill in, and so that's kind of the beginning of Men in Mission. And I know for myself, I don't know that many of you here know other men and other Christian men because of Men in Mission.
Amen.
So that's kind of the beginning of Men in Mission. I guess I want to start out with, good people go to heaven, don't they? Sure they do. It only makes sense. Actually, it does make sense to all. Smart education. Accomplished men and women are banking their eternity on a theory that doesn't hold water. Chances are you never thought it through, but you owe it to yourself to do so. First of all, we all have a choice. We can choose heaven or hell, which you will choose. Heaven's a real place. Jesus Christ, I go to prepare a place for you. It is not a dull place, like selflessness, hatred, and death, with it all gone. The Bible suggests heaven will be a place of somatic, creative, and retiring activity without toil or fatigue. Face to face, we will see God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Hell is a real place. And the New Testament writer uses every image in their power to tell us that hell is real, terrible, sometime something to be avoided at all cost. Never forget that the talk about other darkness and the lake of fire come from Jesus, who died to save us. Hell is a total separation from the love, joy, and peace that comes from God. Which will you choose? You have to decide where you will spend eternity. Jesus Christ has paid the full penalty for your sins and the cross. Christ also suffered for sins, for our sins, and just for and unjust, and for that he might bring us to God. We all must come to guilty sinners and commit our lives to Jesus. And I think, see, the reason that I really want to share with you is, have you shared your life with Jesus? Are you committed? See, I don't know, and the only person who really knows is God and you. But I think it's so important that we make a choice and decide whether it's going to be heaven or hell, or you choose. I profess that some of us in this room haven't committed our lives to Jesus yet. I'm telling you, the Bible is real, and I think that if you haven't decided to choose him yet, ask him into your heart. And you pastors, if you can, encourage more and more of your people to accept Jesus into their heart. I was a young man, was in I graduated from a little high school called Diller, and was able to go to junior college, as was mentioned. This was Fairbury Junior College. And like all other kids and young men, didn't always do the right thing. In fact, at that time, dancing was very common. And so I had a girlfriend, and we went to dances, and we drank beer, which since then I haven't had an experience that I had decided to not to drink beer. And so because of that commitment, in fact, for those of you who know me well, Sapp Brothers Truck Stops, we sell no booze, we sell no pornography, and we sell no drugs within our travel centers. And my older brother thought that I was probably a little cuckoo because I was passing up a lot of good sales. But I felt that if you were a trucking company, you certainly wouldn't want your drivers out there getting polluted up. And so even to this day, we have 17 travel centers, and we sell none of those things at any more travel centers. About that time, I had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And we had a, in fact, it was in the Methodist church there in Diller, Philly, I said Diller, anyway. And Keith Hayes was the Sunday school teacher. And so we all, a number of us, made a commitment that we would not drink anymore, and that we would accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In fact, I'm not even too sure that I was baptized until after we had a meeting with that group. I felt that it was so important for us to set a good example, not only with our children, but with our community and the churches that we lived in. One night, I hadn't accepted Jesus yet, but one night we were called by a friend of mine and said, well, let's go to Wilbur and to a dance. And I usually was short on funds, but anyway, I had enough. And so we invited our girlfriends to go to Wilbur to this dance. Well, we got there, and there were some boys from Odell, and Diller played Odell, and I played on the basketball team. And so anyway, deal was that we met them there, and they wanted to know if anybody had any beer, and we had some beer that we had purchased in an elevator. Really was in there. So anyway, we went out to the car, and we were sitting there drinking, and the policeman come along and opened my door, and I don't even know if my grandchildren know this yet, but anyway, they know it now, and that's what happened. So we went out to the car, and the door opened, and the policeman grabbed me and said that they were taking me to jail. Now, we had those two other boys from Odell and one other boy from Diller. Well, I asked him, I said, you know, what were we really did, you know, we really didn't do anything. But anyway, they said, well, it's against the law to drink beer on the streets of Wilbur, and you're going to jail. Well, I knew that was the end of my 2 years of college, and it was my end of going to school, and I wanted to get my rest of my education. So I decided, what am I going to do? So I withdrew my arms and hit both policemen, knocked them down, and run for dear life. And I could run. That was a good move, wasn't it? Anyway, they got in the car, and the car drove down the block, and by that time I was at the end of the block. The other guys from Odell got the lady that was with us, and we went home, and I went to bed, and I couldn't sleep. And I got to thinking, you know, my goodness, they could have pulled a gun and shot you. Or I said to myself, well, dear Lord, if you're really real, I want you to come into my heart and be my Savior. Well, he did come into my heart, and he changed my whole life. That was the last beer that I drank in my life. And so with that commitment, and married to a good lady who also had the same commitment, amen, I was able to keep it and to move forward. I guess that was probably one of the reasons that I was committed to help other men. And I hope that you and this church can help other men come and make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody goes to heaven unless you go to Jesus Christ. I guess I want you to know that I did, and I shared that with you, have Jesus to come into my life. And the decision to commit my life and change my life, he did. I just want to thank the pastors and the lay people in this community who have spent many hours with breakfasts and helping bring people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I think that's basically where I'm coming from. I want to thank you for coming, and I want you to not necessarily to think any better or any worse. just another young guy who found their way in life. So with that, I want to thank you for the opportunity of sharing with you. And I want you to help and share with our young people in our schools. I think it's so important, and the leadership, as far as I am concerned, has got to start with the men in the community, and sometimes we leave it up to the ladies. So with that, I want to thank you for coming and sharing your morning with us. I want to thank the church here for providing the food, and I want to thank John for it. John, were you going to share with us who the people we've had? We've had a lot of volunteer people. To my knowledge, I don't think we paid anybody.
Don't get any more volunteers.
But we're still taking volunteers, yeah.
Especially younger ones.
Yes.
A lot of you were here when I started playing. That was back in 2002. I started going to church out in Ashland, and Rob Potter had already been going to prayer breakfast, and Rob asked me if we should do this, and I said sure. So he actually talked to Bill, and he knew Bill. I didn't. I'd never really talked to Bill face to face yet. And there was a couple other guys from the Baptist church that played with us. And we've had a few different players over the years that have played with me, probably a dozen or so. And there are a lot of men that are very committed, like Walt. I want to acknowledge Walt, too, for helping out all the time. There's a couple guys I'd like to mention. I'd like to mention Bill Kittle. I don't know Bill passed away. Bill was with us the whole time ever since he came back to Christ, and he only would miss for health reasons. Otherwise, he would make it rain or shine. And somebody else I think we should mention, I never met Gerhardt. That was before my time. But somebody else that came alongside of Bill and was with Bill all the time was Chris Sawyer. So, acknowledge Chris too, but I think in Bill's testimony, I think in the Gospel of John, you notice where John doesn't mention himself, he always says the disciple that Jesus loved. That's where you use that in your drinking stories. You say, the disciple that Jesus loved got pulled over by the cops. That way, if it really comes down to it, you can say, well, that wasn't me. But Jesus did love him. Right? Anyway, I think we should all stand up and give Bill a big hand.
I would like to thank the pastors too. Over the years, the pastor and the officers of a lot of the different churches committed their people and their churches and their sometimes their spouses to help with the meals. And so I think we need to give them a big hand. And we had Louisville join us. You want to share a little bit how you got involved?
That's up to Pat and them. They've been coming longer than I've been serving the church. So
Pastor Joel got us involved.
There you go. Pastor Joel got us involved. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We've got a bunch from Lincoln that's coming now as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is, everybody knows what this is. This is a keep-off made by Everett, and it's presented to the speaker every month, and I know Bill's going to treasure that. The fob is given in the name of Gerhard Grundges, which is, he was one of the originators with Bill. So, Wilson also reminded me that we're really glad that you didn't talk about a lot of your accomplishments, because it'd be noon before we get out of here.
Well, the Lord's been good to me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think you've been good to the Lord too.
About the same time I started doing this, Bill came up to me about the second or third time, and he had a little sheet of paper about this big, and he had a stack of them, and this song was on it, and it's the only time we ever did it was back in 2002. We did this one time at one of the meetings, so I thought it'd be appropriate to do it again, because Bill told me this was one of his favorites.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel,
no,
I'm gonna let it shine. Under a bushel,
no,
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel,
oh no,
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, let's see if you can blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan poke it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. So let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Gonna let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Father, I'd like to thank you so much for the faithfulness of all the men here, the fellowship that we share, the example that Bill has set forth in this community for us, and the way he has led this group. And we want him to know that we all love him and respect him and admire what he's done with us. And we ask you to further your kingdom in this community, Lord. Strengthen every man here. Give us a high resolve to be yours and yours alone. And as the day approaches and as we sang, till Jesus comes, Lord, we want you to find us faithful and true, proclaiming your name and not hiding it, but speaking forth, especially as it gets darker, Lord. Let us be your lights. And we thank you so much. I'd like to lift up the people in Texas that are going through the floods, Lord, that this would be an opportunity then for them to reassess their life and to realize that this life is temporal and things are temporal, but you are the rock that lasts forever. And let them come back stronger than ever as an example to the world that down in the Bible Belt, the Bible reigns, and that they would be strengthened by it. Lord, give us a great day ahead. And let us lead more men to you. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.